Go ahead and open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Be there in just a moment. I am so very proud of our young ladies, our nine young ladies this morning that taught class. I'm sure that they did a very good job. I had an opportunity to talk to most of them between class and preaching. They felt like they did well, and I'm sure that they did. And I'm also so very thankful to our ladies that gave of their time and energies this last week to help the young ladies learn and to teach the classes and to build a foundation for future service in the Lord's church. I do have to get control of some gossip that's going around here because I've heard it coming back to me and it's getting bigger every time it's told. I did not almost get arrested for human trafficking this week. It's not true. About 1:30 on Monday night, as you know, if you've come up here very often, we always have police officers out here. They do paperwork, and they're very good to check our parking lot several times during the night. But because my truck had been there for quite some time, and Michael Feast and I were providing security for the ladies at night, we stayed upstairs in the office areas. They rang the doorbell, and I went down to the door. Michael Feast was with me, and the cop said, "What's going on?" And I said, "Well, we got some ladies downstairs, and we're watching over them." Okay, it's 1:30. I'm in bed. I've already turned my brain off for the day, okay? Michael said he's behind me going, "Oh, you got to clean that up. You got to fix that," right? Now, I've heard since Wednesday night that I said that we had them locked up downstairs, all kinds of stuff. I did not say that. So I did. I explained it to him. He did look at me and go, "Excuse me?" But I explained it to him, and he understood, and I did not get arrested or even taken to the police car. So if you're hearing rumors or gossip of otherwise outside of that story, that's false. And I'm working on my sermon on gossip right now. It is so very good, as every Sunday it is, to be with you, to be with the Lord's church, to be with those that are of like mind and like dedication to God. And it is so easy for us to say what Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 as we are gathered here today and as we live the Christian life on a daily basis. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? How blessed it is to have our God and our Father, the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings that He gives to us every day. The spiritual blessings that we have. You know, Paul is writing to Christians like us, and God has blessed us as children of God with every spiritual blessing. He hasn't left any out for His children. And those blessings exist only in one place. Notice that Paul says that every spiritual blessing exists in one place, in Christ. In Christ. In Him. Ephesians chapter 1 will speak of what we have in Christ by using that phrase, in Him, six times. The things that we have in Him, in Him alone. Verse 3, as we've just read just a moment ago, we can see what does it mean to be in Him? What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, we see that in Him, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places exists for us. Now that word there, heavenly places, if you look at your Bible, you'll probably notice places is italicized most likely in your Bible. That's because that's added by translators. The term is literally in the heavenlies. We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. It literally, you know, when Paul says that, he is the only New Testament writer to use that word. To use that word that would be translated heavenly. And it is five times in the book of Ephesians. We have it right here in verse 3. And in verse 20, Paul says that Christ is seated at the right hand in the heavenly places or the heavenlies. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, in our salvation, we are made alive in Christ Jesus and seated in heavenly places or heavenlies. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. We preach the gospel so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. In chapter 6 and verse 12, He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So that's the five times. That's the only time that word's ever used. And Paul is the only one to use it here in his writing to the church at Ephesus. These heavenlies, in the broad sense of the way that Paul is using it, is not just referring to heaven where God is at or where the throne of God is, but it is, in a broad sense, talking about the spiritual world as a whole. In a narrow sense, as Paul is using it here in the book of Ephesians, he is talking about the church, the kingdom of God. John chapter 18 and verse 36, Pilate was told by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that His kingdom was not of this world. Why? Because it's a spiritual kingdom. The Lord's church is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus made that very clear to Pilate on that afternoon, or that morning rather. Physical blessings, as we see in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, physical blessings fall on everybody, right? He makes His sun and to shine on the just and the unjust, the rain to rain on the just and the unjust. The physical blessings of God fall upon everyone. But the spiritual blessings of God are only for those in Him, for those in Jesus Christ. I want us to look. Certainly we do not have the time today, and I would not presume to even be able to grasp them all. We will not look at every spiritual blessing that's in Christ Jesus, as the verse 3 says, but I want us to look at three that we see here in the text. In verses 4 through 6, we see that received exclusively to those in Him, we are spiritually blessed to be chosen in Jesus Christ. You know, let's read those verses. In beginning with verse 4, he says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him, in love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. Now, I don't know if you remember ball field choosing, right? Picking teams. That was always a nervous time, wasn't it? You never wanted to be the last one picked or the one that didn't get picked at all, right? You know, if there were even numbers, you knew you were at least going to land somewhere. You may be the last one, and there was some shame to that. But you at least knew you would be on a team, right? Now, if there were odd numbers, uh-oh, right? Someone's going to have to set the bench till someone's hurt or tired, right? And so you remember that, but how good it felt to get picked, right? It felt good to be picked. Now, I was 4'11" till I was a junior in high school. I was a scrawny little guy. If you wanted speed, I was your guy. But I was short and I was scrawny, and so I rarely ever got picked early. I don't know that I ever got left, but I never got picked real early because there were big boys that other people wanted more. But you know, we often attribute, whether it was true or not, we attribute getting picked last to being the worst of the bunch, right? That wasn't always the case. Folks, when we think about God choosing us, He chose the worst. When He chose me, He chose the worst. I didn't deserve to be on the team, did I? I don't deserve to be in the family. But God chose me. He chose me not because of me being so great, but because He's so great. He's so filled with love. He's so filled with desire to see me be what He created me to be. You know, from before the very beginning, we see here God chose people who would give their lives to Him. That's who's predestined. From the very beginning, God said, this group of people will be the ones that I will choose. And that is those that would give themselves to Jesus Christ. Give themselves to God. Give their lives to God. Be in Him. He adopted us. I love that idea. I love that thought process that goes into the idea of being adopted. You know, Romans chapter 8 talks about that we have a spirit of adoption in which we cry, Abba, Father, right? We look to God. He can be our Father because we've been adopted. I remember two wonderful Christian people, Trevor and Angela, and They were so wonderful, so humble, and such good servants in the Lord's church, so dedicated to God. They wanted so badly to have a child. And it just never seemed to work out. They endured the heartache of multiple miscarriages. They, at least twice, had a child that they were going to adopt that was born, and the mother changed her mind after the child was born. So they had gone through the whole process right up to that moment where they would have taken the child home, only to have it taken away. They finally sought a baby in China. They spent nearly 2 years going through just an exhaustive, heart-rending process. And they finally made the trip over to China, and they go to this orphanage. And here's all these children, and their beds are cardboard, pieces of cardboard on the floor. And there's Lacey. Lacey came back to America, and they loved her and they cared for her, and she was kind of shy and withdrawn, of course, and you know, having gone through what she went through over there. But we went back a few years ago, and she is a beautiful, thriving young lady now. Because they chose her. They adopted her and changed her life in incredible ways. Many children are an accident. Some children, and unfathomably, I can't even begin to grasp it, are unwanted, right? And people have them anyway. God chose me. He wanted me. He chose me. He adopted me. We are chosen. God saw us and chose us out of His love. And what an incredible spiritual blessing. And how much can that change us? It can change us in profound ways. Just like Lacey went from a very shy, very withdrawn little girl to this vibrant young lady. Why? Because she was chosen and loved. And when we're chosen by God and we understand that, we see that blessing and we allow that blessing to come into our lives and we are loved by God, folks, it's going to change us. It can't help but change us. It's going to make us better. It's going to make us more like Him. Through this chosen adoption, verses 10 through 12 also tells us that we have an inheritance because we are chosen, because we are the chosen children of God. And Peter says that this inheritance in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, that it is imperishable, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. God takes me as His child, and then He says, I've got an inheritance for you. I've got an inheritance I want to give you, and it's a great inheritance reserved in heaven. God wants me. God wants you. He loves us. He has chosen us if we will only come to Him and be His child. He has made us heirs of eternal life. We are God's chosen people in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful spiritual blessing to know that? I always love, and I know you hear it a lot from me in sermons, but I always go back to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us that we can be called children of God. Folks, I just don't think we grasp sometimes what love it took for God to call me a son, to call you a child of His. Then in verses 7 through 8, we see that in Him, or in Jesus Christ, we have redemption. He says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace which He lavished on us. When we are chosen, we become holy like our Father. When He chose us, we became holy like Him. We became, in other words, separated from the sin of this world. We became separate. Sin's over there, we're over here now, just as God is over here and sin's over there. God can never be over there with sin. So we come to Him, He chooses us, and we are made holy by Him. And that holiness is only possible, as we see in our text, by being blameless. Blamelessness can only come through the forgiveness of our trespasses. And that forgiveness is by the blood of Jesus Christ, in which He removes our trespasses. He removes our sins. He washes them away, never to be held to our account ever again by God. And as a result, I stand sinless in the blood of Jesus Christ. I am made holy because Jesus Christ is holy. You know, this is all possible through grace. Through the grace, through the undeserved gift of Jesus Christ. He enables me to overcome the separation that I have from God. See, redemption is about coming back home. It's about closing that gap between me and God that sin has created. Sin pushes me away from God. And Jesus and His forgiveness and the grace of giving Jesus Christ on this earth makes it possible for that gap to be removed and me to once again be redeemed to the Father that loves me. To be the child that He longs for me to be. Only in Jesus is there forgiveness. Only in Jesus is there redemption. Only in Him is there spiritual riches. Only in Christ is there a loving Father. Only in Him. The spiritual blessing of being in Christ. Last of all, in verses 8 through 10, we see that in Jesus we are enlightened about what is to ultimately happen. It says, in all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth. In Jesus we have wisdom and we have insight. This wisdom and insight comes from the Word of God. And we know what the world does not know about what is to come. See, we have an understanding of what lies ahead. We know what God is going to do because He's told us. He's revealed that mystery to us in God's Word. People in the world are so very afraid of death. It's such a mystery to them. It's something that it scares them, and they're fixated sometimes on the end of the world, aren't they? All the movies about the end of the world, right? Those always make a lot of money. People are fixated. We always got to have a theory out there how the world's going to end. Global warming, or when I was young, it was global cooling. It was going to be an ice age. Then it was an asteroid. The world's always got to be thinking of how the world's going to end. I'll tell you how the world's going to end. And it is global warming. Right? 2 Peter chapter 3, it's going to get hot. It's all going to burn up. So I guess I'll side with them on that. I know how the world's going to end. I don't have to wonder if an asteroid's going to hit us. I don't have to wonder if we're going to have an ice age. I don't have to wonder if there's going to be a pandemic that kills us all off. I don't have to wonder. I know. And you know too. I don't have to worry because I know. And you know too because He's revealed that mystery to us. Let me tell you what. Paul says it's a mystery to them, but not to us, and has been made known to us. Let me tell you what, if they knew it and they believed it, they would come to Christ, wouldn't they? I think the best thing for this world is for everybody to experience 2 seconds of hell. Just two. Well, yeah, just one. I heard somebody say not even two, just one. Thank you, Dottie. I've been corrected in my sermon this morning. I wanted them to suffer just a little bit longer, I guess. Just 1 second of hell. You think we'd have enough seats in the church building next Sunday? 1 second. Old preacher back in the 60s used to tell the story. He said, I tell you what, I get so tired of hearing people say, I'm going to hell. He said, no, you don't even believe in it if you say that. Because you can't hold your hand on a stove eye without screaming and hollering, and you're talking like you're going to hell, like you're going to the mountains or down to the lake, right? If you really believed in hell, there ain't no way you're going there. No more than you want to put your hand on the stove eye. He says, if you say you're going to hell, or you just say, oh yeah, I know I'm going, you don't believe in it. You either don't believe in it or you don't know what it is. But either way, it's been revealed to us. We understand it. We know it's real, and we act accordingly. And this knowledge is a spiritual blessing because it deals with our spiritual well-being. You know, It was purposed in Him, in Jesus Christ here it says, in Him. It was purposed in Him. Jesus came because of this reality. He came because there is a hell. That is what the love of God is responding to. When we read John 3:16, well, why send Jesus? Just because you love us, why send Him? Because there's a hell. And it's a terrible, terrible place. More terrible than we can even begin to imagine. And no more than we want our children to suffer or our loved ones to suffer. God doesn't want us to suffer. That's why He sent Jesus Christ. Because there is a hell. There's no hell. Why bother? If I'm just like old Rover and dead all over when they put me in the ground, so be it. That's not so bad, is it? That's not how it is, and that's been revealed to us, hasn't it? And that's why God sent Jesus Christ, because there's a judgment coming. That's how this world's going to end. It's going to end at the judgment seat of Christ, where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord. And those that have given their lives to Him will know the glories of the Father. And those that have not will know the horrors of hell. That's the reality that has been revealed to us. And we're spiritually blessed to know that and to understand that so that we can make decisions in our lives appropriate to it, right? So that I can avoid it. So that I can be with the One that I love and who loves me. You ever thought, Jeannie looks always at my pages on my thing and says it doesn't really matter. I don't know why she looks, but this is why it doesn't matter. This isn't in my notes. You ever thought about the people, if you wind up in hell one day, who you'll be with? You ever made that comparison? Hitler's, Stalin's, mass murderers, people of indescribable evil, the devil. Who will you be with in heaven? You ever made that comparison? Abraham, Moses, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God and the Holy Spirit. It's a big difference, isn't it? There's no one that'll love you in hell, because love is of God. And that's in heaven. I want to go there. And I'm so very thankful for the spiritual blessing that God has told me about these things so that I can know them and make a choice to avoid them. If you look at chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 12, Paul says this. He says, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's us. Every single one of us have lived that verse at some point, haven't we? Maybe today you're still living that verse. I don't know, but you do. Most certainly God does. We've all, at some point in our lives, been without God. We've all, at some point in our lives, separated ourselves from Him because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, as Paul told the Romans. In verse 1 of chapter 2 there of Ephesians, he says the same thing in much more succinct manner when he says, you were dead in your trespasses. The word dead is simply separated. We were separated from who? From God, because of our sins. That's why we need the redemption and the forgiveness. But see, you do not have to remain that way. Read verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2 with me. Formerly, we formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Notice Paul is including himself there, right? We've all formerly been that. How do I get to be formerly that, right? I want to be formerly. I don't want to be currently. I want to be former. I want to be a former sinner. I want to be a former person that's living according to the world here, as he says that they walked according to the course of this world. In class this morning, Ken was talking about 1 John chapter 2, that we do not love the world. It's not an option. We don't love it. We are commanded not to love it. Do not love the world or the things of the world. For what does the world consist of? lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, right? Then he says, let me give you a value comparison here or something you need to consider. The world is passing away. Brother Jimmy Jividen, wonderful gospel preacher for many years, passed away just earlier this year. Brother Jimmy Jividen talked about that verse. He said, you wouldn't buy a house you knew was going to burn down. You wouldn't buy a bull that you knew was going to die. And yet we buy into so many things of this world and they're all going away. They're all perishing. He had a solution. You need to go out there and buy you one of those big rubber stamps at Office Max. And you need to have the word perishable on it. You need to get you a big thing of red ink. And you need to walk around your house. You need to stamp things. Perishable, 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 perishable. And the more you love it, harder you stamp it, and maybe the more you stamp it, right? So that you're reminded that so many of the things that we hold so important are of this world and it's going away, folks. And only the eternal spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ will carry on when that's all gone, when it's all dust or burn up. But how do I become former in regard to my sinful ways? Verse 13 of chapter 2. But now in Christ. Where? In Christ. You who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you want to be formerly this morning, it has to be in Christ. Because He's the one that brings you from far to near. You know, you can only be that in Jesus Christ. There is but one way into Christ this morning. There is but one way to find every spiritual blessing that exists within Him, every spiritual blessing of God, and that way is through obedience to God. If you are not a Christian, you must begin by having faith. By believing in God, by believing, trusting Him to do exactly what He says, trusting that what He has given us is exactly what we need and is the truth in every situation. See, faith is about trust more as much as it is, and if not more, than it is just about some kind of acknowledgement of existence. It's trusting Him. And if I trust Him, I'll do exactly what He says. See, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says that without faith it is impossible, impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek Him. We forget that sometimes, don't we? The reward, the inheritance, the choosing, the spiritual blessings come to those that diligently, all their heart, seek Him. Very similar to Matthew chapter 6, right? Seek first the kingdom of God. And He will add these things to you. We must also seek Him, and to seek Him, we have to live righteously. We have to seek to live as God would have us to live. And that begins with repentance. So you trust God in what He says. You look at what He says. He tells you how to live. And you say, I'm going to live that way. I'm going that direction, right? That's repentance. I'm going to live as God would have me to live. And then we confess Him. You cannot be in Christ. You cannot be one with Christ and be ashamed of Him. Husbands and wives, you are one. God has made you one. And in like manner, He makes us one with Him. Nita, if Tom refused to tell anybody you were his wife, would that make you happy? I understand, Nita, if you don't acknowledge Tom. Not much of a spouse, are you? If you're ashamed to tell anybody, that's my wife or that's my husband. You're not much of a Christian if you don't want to tell people about Jesus Christ. To be one with Him, to be in Him, to be with Him, to walk with Him. Then after that, one must be baptized. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says that we are baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says that we are baptized into Christ. How do I get in there? You get in there through baptism. Through baptism that is based in faith, baptism that is based in a decision to give your life to God. It's nothing to do with water, has everything to do with obedience to what He has commanded to be done. And then as Romans chapter 6 goes on to say, we rise up to walk that new life, a new life with all the spiritual blessings that come in Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing. If you don't have that this morning, if you haven't obeyed the gospel this morning, we hope and pray that you do those things. For God calls you. He wants you to be His child. He has chosen those that will give themselves to Him. This morning, if you're a Christian, maybe you haven't been living as you should. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says that we are to walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. See, I can't be in Christ and not be where He's at. That's impossible. So if I'm going to be in Christ, I've got to be in the light. Walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Fellowship with those that also walk there with Christ. And walking in the light is living according to God's will. If you haven't been doing that, then the last part of that verse doesn't give you any hope. Because the last part of that verse, for those that walk in the light, yes, we'll make mistakes and we will have moments where we don't make good judgments and we will sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ continuously cleanses us of those sins. Because I'm doing the very best that I can to live for God. But maybe you haven't been walking in the light. Maybe you haven't been living as you should for God. He hasn't been number one. Verse 9 of 1 John chapter 1 then says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Isn't that wonderful? Confess our sins, get in the light, and know that God will forgive us. Bring us back home. Put us back in Christ, where every spiritual blessing is. This morning, if you are not living in a manner in which you have every spiritual blessing, we hope and pray that you'll make the decisions you need to make today to be there, to be in Christ, to know the love and the blessings of our Heavenly Father. If we can assist you in that this morning, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.